Well, we are going to spend some time in God's Word. No surprise there, right? And we're going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I'd like to share on the subject of choosing to agree with God. And that is a choice that God would like us to make. Choosing to agree with God. And in 1 Timothy 2, a verse of scripture we're very familiar with, in verse 4 of chapter 2, it says, and this is referring to God's will. You know, will here, God's will, but this is, I'm talking about a different will right now. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So two things there, very obvious, that God wants all people to be saved, and he wants all people to come to a knowledge of the truth. God has made himself known by way of his word, and the truth is in his word. Jesus Christ in John 17:17 said, "Thy word is truth," referring to God's word, and his prayer to God in the Garden of Gethsemane. For Christians are supposed to believe in God's word, supposed to. And for us, the Bible is God's word. You know, we know this isn't the original God-breathed word. It's not even a translation. It's a version of a translation. But there are ways, as we know, how to get to the accuracy of the original intent of God's word as far as what it says and what it means. But God does want us to read his word, to know what it says, and also to agree with it. And, you know, he wants us to do it, as it says in James, don't be a hearer of the word only, but a doer of the word, right? So let's go to Luke chapter 4. You know, God's word reveals who he is, what he has done, what he is doing now, what he will do. It reveals his love, his goodness, his kindness, his patience, what he hates, what he loves, what he agrees with, what he doesn't agree with. It gives us a lot of information about him and us, right from wrong. You know, in the manifestations guide said that he would show us what's right and what's wrong in this world. And there's a lot of junk in this world that is wrong. And we can find out what that is by way of his word. Luke chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus Christ talking to the devil himself, being tempted by the devil, and it says, Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Our lives are to be sustained by the words of God, which are found in the Bible. Let's go to John chapter 6. Jesus Christ was on board with this whole idea of believing God's word and agreeing with it and choosing to do it. And it's a good thing. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not my will be done, but yours, right? You know, referring to God. I will be done. John chapter 6, verse 38 says, this is Jesus Christ talking, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Came not down to, you know, I wasn't sent to do my own will. I was sent to do God's will, that who has sent me. Remember in the prayer that Jesus Christ was teaching the disciples, have, you know, an example of prayer, and in part, you know, they call it the Lord's Prayer, probably because the Lord said it. But thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? The will of God is performed all the time in heaven, because those angels want to serve God, and those angels do what God says to do, whatever those tasks are. You know, like if God sent Michael the archangel down for a specific task, he's going to say, hey, I'm really not interested in doing that. I don't really agree with this project here. I'm not going to do it. Now, so far, other than Lucifer, every angel has done the will of God. And Jesus Christ's prayer was, hey, pray that the will of God is done on earth as it's also done in heaven. And we know that's not going to happen until the return, when there is no devil that have an influence on people's thinking and logic and all that stuff. So let's go to we're going to go to Romans chapter 12, while we're in the neighborhood. Very familiar verse of Scripture to us. Romans chapter 12. Just because we're familiar with it doesn't mean we can't keep applying it. We're learning from it. Chapter 12, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There is still a little bit of renewing of the mind that we we need to do. We'll be renewing our mind till the return or the day we take our last breath. I mean, it's just the way it is. Our minds are capable of thinking things that aren't right. I think we've all proved that. So God wants us to change our minds to that which God's Word says. Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And we should, for our lives, choose to agree with what God says. Psalm 119, verse 1. We're just going to read a few of these verses here. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. If you're walking in the law of the Lord, you must be agreeing with it. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. If you're doing that, probably agreeing with what he says. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Really go after it. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And the answer is, by taking heed thereto according to the word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. To wander from the commandments, one part of it is to simply not believe or agree with what it says. You say, no, I know what it says, but I'm not interested in doing that. I'm going to do something else. That's a wandering away. Verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of my mouth that I agree with. The other ones, I'm not so sure. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Now that's quite a statement. If you won $20 million this morning, you'd probably be pretty happy about that, right? Well, this guy, David, rejoiced in the testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways, the ones I agree with, the rest of them I'm trashing. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of the law. What a heart. Let's just go to verse 97. Oh how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. You know, it's something that he really liked thinking about. Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I'm smarter than those old guys. I have refrained my feet from every evil work that I may keep thy word. That's a big statement. I have refrained my feet. I'm not going down that road that says evil on the front. The door that says evil, the gateway to evil, not opening that door. Verse 102, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. And what God calls a false way is a false way. Now, what the world calls a false way may be true. And what the world calls true may be a false way. The world says a lot of different things. It's interesting. You know, even in this world, to a certain degree, people will agree with what God's will is. God doesn't want people to murder each other, right? And most people say, even people that are unbelievers say, yeah, murder's bad. robbery, yeah, that's not so good either, unless I want what you got. There are exceptions. Lying, most people will say, yeah, lying's not good, even if they lie themselves. They still know, eh, it's not a good thing. All kindergarten teachers, aren't you supposed to tell your kid don't lie to each other? I mean, so it's out there. Cheating. Most people would consider that bad, right? So what about other subjects that may be a little bit more controversial or what the world promotes as a good thing? Remember Jeremiah saying that the Israel had gotten to a point that what was bitter they called sweet, and what was good they called bad or evil. They got it all flipped around. And the world does that to God, you know, to topics. Today we're going to look at a topic that the world is really promoting, and we're going to look at it in Leviticus chapter 18 to see what God's opinion of it is. There are lots of topics in God's word and in life, and God has an opinion on a lot of stuff. And are we agreeable with that opinion? That's up to us. But there is a movement that has been going on for thousands of years, but it's very strong in our world in the last 50, and that is homosexuality. And homosexuality is being promoted as a great thing. And even in our own country, we have several presidents that have made laws to promote homosexuality, and they have a whole Pride Month, June, supposed to celebrate homosexuality. And, you know, can we imagine July being Murderers Pride Month? I think most people say, hey, you know, this isn't a good thing, really. Or Cheat on Your Wife Month, you know, they would probably ask for more months. Only 1 month. But, you know, what is it that the world considers evil, and if it turned into a celebration of it, it's kind of odd. So, but the way it's promoted, especially to children can't even get around it. You can't not have an opinion as a kid at this point about it. You either are agreeing with it, or staying quiet about it, or vocalizing against it, because it's in everybody's faces so much, and more perverse with all the transgender stuff and whatever. But I thought we'd look and see what God says about it. I think you already know, but we're going to look at it anyway. At chapter 18, verse 22, and this is instruction to the children of Israel, but it's really throughout the whole Word of God. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is okay to do if you want. It is an abomination. And the word abomination means something that is horrible. It's putrid. It's smelly in God's nostrils. It's literally the word for disgusting. And in God's sight, when a man lies with a woman, with a man, like a man is supposed to lie with a woman, it's disgusting to him. Think of the most disgusting thing you've ever seen or heard. And that's kind of like the feeling that God gets. It's just gross. There are things, actions in our world that most people say, yeah, that's really disgusting. You know, certain acts that people do. There's a big thing about sex trafficking right now, where they're trying to expose the evil of it. And people start finding out, and they're like, that is terrible. Yeah, it is terrible. But what if the world promotes, hey, it's a good thing to do. Somebody's doing it. It's just, so in God's sight, when it says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is an abomination. God's saying, it's a disgusting thing. So then in our mind, as a God's kid, we're to agree with that. We're to say, yeah, that is disgusting. Just like we would say, yeah, murder's really not a good thing to do. Cheating on your spouse is not a good thing to do. It's just disgusting. It isn't beautiful in God's sight. It's not acceptable in God's sight. It's not an okay thing to do in God's sight. The world tries to make it that way and pushes people into trying to accept it. Leviticus, let's go to Leviticus 18, start with verse 1. We're in Leviticus. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwell, shall you not do. So those people in Egypt, the things you saw there, don't do those. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, you shall not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. So when we were in Egypt and you saw these abominable things there, these disgusting things that they did, I don't want you to do that. And when you go into the land where the people are going to be removed and the things they're doing, I don't want you to do that either. So there was obviously some things that God said, don't do them. Verse 4, you shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. It's just, there were actions that people were taking, and one of them was homosexuality. Just look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Didn't work out well for them. It's just disgusting in God's sight. Think of the worst thing you can think of. And God, that's how God looks at it. It's not what the world promotes. It just isn't. And people are constantly being pushed to put their seal of approval on it. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. And it's really easy to say, it's what they want to do, it's okay. But God says it's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Romans chapter 1. But, the world will continue to push to try to get even believers to say, it's not so bad. They say homosexuality sucks. I think they're right. I know, that's gross, right? All right, Romans chapter 1, verse 21. The second half of Romans does deal with, mainly it's idolatry, but homosexuality is wrapped up in it. And the whole thing about idolatry is where man will take what God says and refute it and say, I don't want that. I'm not interested. And this is a report card on mankind from early on, and then verse 21 we'll pick it up. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain or foolish in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They no longer had light in that mind of theirs, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. It's like throwing them in the trash pile. There's nothing that he can do. They're just thrown into the trash pile. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one to another, men with men, working that which is okay to do. No, it's unseemly. It's just despicable in God's sight. There's nothing beautiful about it in God's sight. You know what's beautiful in God's sight? Remember Romans? Beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace. There's a lot of things beautiful in God's sight, but it isn't one of them. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet or adequate. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do things which are not convenient. Reprobate means a mind void of good judgment. Can a homosexual add and subtract and multiply and divide correctly? Yes. Can a homosexual learn the art of surgery for the body? Yes. Can they be a dentist? Yes. Can they build houses? Yeah, but I'm not. You know, they can do five senses things. It's not like they're horrible, horrible people, but their act is what God hates. God doesn't hate the individual; he hates the act. And you know, there's a separation there, but the world is promoting that the act is good and acceptable and pleasing and something to celebrate. And there's the difference. And there's something wrong with you if you don't agree with that. So, verse 29 gives a long list of not good characteristics. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And it's you know, it's not, you know, homosexuality is like the bottom of the barrel of the reflection of people refuting God's word. We're going to go to the Genesis. Just want to look at how did, you know, when we oppose God in a thing, God says something is good and we say, yeah, that's bad. Or something, God says this is bad and we say, yeah, no, that's good. We're opposing God in that particular subject. And really, it's not good for us, like it says in Psalm 119, blessed are those that walk in his ways, not in what we think is good or bad. So, just going to look at the first two people who took a look at what God said and said, you know, I don't know if it's as bad as he thinks it says. And that's our two wonderful Adam and Eve. Seems like we always go back to this record. It's the original. It's the original recipe. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the commandment God gave Adam when he was in that garden. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day there that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That was pretty straightforward, pretty easy to understand. That tree was off limits for them to partake of. So in chapter 3, verse 1, the serpent comes around and says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, you know, has God really said that you should not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree of the fruit of the fruit of the trees of the garden. She forgot the word freely. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Didn't say anything about touching, and he didn't say, yeah, you might die. It was an absolute die. So she was getting pliable in her thinking. She didn't say exactly what verse 16 said. She started changing it. The serpent was working on her, and she got to a pliable point where she's starting to, I don't know. Verse 4, the devil comes in for the kill here, and serpent said unto woman, you shall not surely die. You know, he said you're going to die. There's no way you're going to die if you take of that tree. No way, the fruit. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. You're going to be just like God. You're going to know what good is. You're going to know what evil is. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and with her, and he did eat. So it got to a point where what the devil was promoting to her, she said, "Ooh, this is going to make me really wise. This is something I really should want. This is something I really would be good for me, not bad for me." And she got to a point, she changed her mind. She made an opposition of God's word in her mind. She said, "I know that's what God says, but this is looking really good now." You know, how do you think people get like that? Because it's totally unnatural. It's not like, oh, wait, one day I just want to be a homosexual. It doesn't work that way. It works with information going in and going in and going in. And I wanted to read verse 6 in the New Living Translation. It says, the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful, and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. So she got to a point where her brain accepted it and gave it the seal of approval. And the devil's always working on us to give it an approval. But God says, agree with what I think is good, and don't agree with what the world says is good, or vice versa. We're lastly going to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, which gives some information on what we just read. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. What did I tell you? Yeah, 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So the world just keeps banging on our doorsteps, and now is trying to teach children in school. It's a good thing. There's a county in Maryland, the Board of Education approved books that have the required reading for kindergarten and up of how to choose your gender. I mean, required reading. So somebody's trying to influence somebody. And those kids, unless they've got some parental guidance or some guts, they're going to say, I don't know, mate, what? I'm confused. Maybe I am a girl and I got this thing down here, but I guess maybe I'm really a girl. I don't know. It's just, we're wacky. But what it is the same beguiling that the devil did to Eve. No new tricks here. Verse 3. Says, for I fear, this is Paul in relationship to the Corinthians who were getting talked out of some of the things that they had in Christ Jesus and a lot of other things. And it says, for I fear, I'm concerned, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And that's the principle right there. The word beguiled means deceived. Eve was deceived. Adam just went along with his wife. doesn't say anything about the serpent working on him, but he worked on her, and she finally got to a point where she says, you know, that I really want to do that. And there you go. So we want to agree with what God says. If he says something's great, we want to say it's great. If God says it's terrible, we want to say it's terrible. If God says you're going to heaven, we want to say we're going. If God says don't do that, we want to say don't do that. We just want to stay, and it may be unpopular. It's okay. I'd rather be standing with God and his word than to be popular among people. And if we don't take a stand and speak up on it, I don't know who would. We were signing papers, I think it was 2 years ago, we were refinancing our house at the time, and the woman doing the paperwork came to our house. And I don't know how the subject came up. We were somehow talking about the Bible. and she said that she was her nephew, whom she has loved all her life and spent a lot of time with. This woman is a Christian. She said he's getting married very soon, but he's a homosexual. And that he asked her, "Are you coming to the wedding?" And she said, and I thought it was a very honest answer, she said, "I love you dearly, but what you're doing, I do not agree with. It's totally wrong, and I will not be blessed to be there and have my blessing on it. But I love you, but I'm not going to agree with what you're doing." And I thought, isn't that wonderful? You know, she knew scripturally, it's wrong. And that was that. She drew the line, and there she stood. And I thought, that's wonderful. And the worst are when people who know better go down that road. Ugh. So it's not that we don't try to help. It's just that we don't have to agree with it. If we agree with it, we're getting like Eve saying, you know, I think we, no, we, can we, I don't remember. Maybe we can get like that. And that's not a good spot to be. So, you know, when God told Abraham he was going to torch Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, Abraham, remember him saying, you wouldn't kill the righteous because of the unrighteous that are living there. And he goes, what if there are 50 righteous there? Would you do it for 50? Remember? All right, I won't do it if there's 50. Well, how about 40? How about 30? Got him down to 10? Was it 10 or 5?
It was 10, right?
10. And God couldn't find 10. So his loving, merciful heart was, I'll get those who are there out before I torch. And that was loving. But that means everybody else, and they were big, Sodom and Gomorrah, and there was another one, big cities, the whole city. Wicked, you know, their wickedness was so full that it was dominated by homosexuality. It's no wonder there are so many weird decisions going on in our country. There are a lot of homosexuals in office, and they're not making decisions that are good for people. So, anyway, on a lighter note, but you know, we just gotta stay, whatever the subject is, stay firm on it.